You're listening to The Mom Inspired Show, Episode 5 with Stephanie Taylor. Welcome to The Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. Hey guys, today's guest is Stephanie Taylor. She's a stay-at-home mom of two young girls, and she shares with us her journey of having cancer, specifically battling Hodgkin's lymphoma. She also shares with us how she was a healthy eater and that you can't always avoid illnesses, and how she balances eating well today, but not trying to worry about every single thing she eats now that she is in remission. We dive into what it looks like in regards to her support system during this journey, and how some friends disappointed her and how others she didn't really know ended up being a huge support. Let's go to the show. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So I like to start off with an icebreaker, and I love to travel, so it's always fun for me to ask people where they have vacationed. So with that, what is your favorite vacation spot you've ever been to and why? And this can be with or without kids.
Okay. Well, I would say probably my favorite vacation spot I've ever been to was probably our honeymoon in Cancun, Mexico. But my most recent favorite, where we go to each year, is Rosemary Beach in Florida.
Yes, I love that area. I mean, being from Michigan, people don't really know about the Panhandle area and how the sand is so white and the water
right.
is so warm. But that's one of my favorite places. And we too went to Cancun for our honeymoon.
Oh, neat.
Yes, but it's been so long since we've gone, and we haven't gone back. Have you?
No, we haven't been back since. I'd love to, but it was a great time.
Yeah, it is. It is great. So, well, that's exciting. Those are my my list too. So that's kind of ironic that you have the same places that I do. So, well, let's get into the show. How about you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Okay. Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have two little girls. They're 9 and 6, and their names are Ava and Nora. And I've been married to my husband for 13 years now. And most recently, I was diagnosed with cancer last year, at the beginning of last year. And as of this year, June, I'm officially in remission. So that's been a large part of my life for the last few years. But thank God I'm through that now and in remission. So,
yeah. And what kind of cancer were you diagnosed with?
I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 3. And so it's a type of blood cancer, but it's actually one of the most curable types of cancer. So I felt very fortunate to have had that, and not something worse. And even the chemotherapy that I took for that was, very tolerable, I would say. Definitely not fun, but
yes.
very tolerable. And so, you know, a lot of times you hear of people going through chemo and they're just sick all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, I definitely didn't have a lot of energy, but I didn't have a whole lot of times where I never, you know, got sick physically.
Oh, wow.
But I did feel nauseous and I did develop a pretty bad case of acid reflux. So there were definitely things about it that were not fun at all. But looking back, I think it was definitely tolerable, at least.
Now, did you do the chemo, take a pill, or did you go in and have chemo,
infusion? Yeah. I had to have an infusion IV. And so before I started chemo, they actually did a biopsy first from one of my lymph nodes, and that confirmed that it was Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then I had a port put in. So I actually still have that. I'm going to be getting that out soon.
Wow.
But it's kind of near like one of the arteries in my neck. And so they accessed that to give me 4 different types of chemo. And the acronym for it is ABVD, which is kind of the typical lineup for Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I would go in every 2 weeks, and I did that for 6 months, and I would get, the 4 different kinds. Some of them only took 10 to 20 minutes. Others took like an hour, but I was typically there anywhere from 5 to 6 hours at a time. So.
Oh, wow. That is a long time.
Yeah. And made for a long day.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. And then now why do they leave the port in for so long, even though you're done?
Well, I could have gotten it out back in June, but just because the busyness of summer and vacations, I just kind of put it off myself.
Sure.
But I could have gotten it out in June.
I see.
But the reason they do that after your last chemo, mine was December 1st, and the reason they leave it in for a little while is just in case you happen to relapse or they happen to see something on your next scan. And that actually did happen with me. I went in Christmas Eve, actually, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to go in and they're going to say, you're in remission. Congratulations. You're all done. You know, thinking, oh, this is going to be the best Christmas present ever. And I go in and he's like, well, you know, we're still seeing a few spots. And, you know, your heart just sinks. And my kids were even with us because we were on our way to see family for Christmas.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think our attitude through the whole thing has just been, okay, let's just take it a step at a time. He didn't say it was cancer. He just said, we see a few spots. We're going to take a look at them. You need to have another scan in 3 months. Mm. And so we just thought, well, it sounds like it's just inflammation, you know, damage from chemo. So we weren't too worried. But of course, it just wasn't the news we were hoping to hear, you know, after going through chemo for 6 months. But so I had another scan in March, and that one showed that a few spots were gone that he had seen previously. So that was encouraging. But he still saw something under my sternum, which is actually where I had my largest tumor. And that one was still there, but it had not grown. It hadn't shrunk. So he was pretty confident it was just scar tissue. But I had a scan again in June. So I did that. And then in June, you know, he pretty confidently said, I think you're done. This appears to just be scar tissue under your sternum still because it hasn't grown. It's actually shrunk by the tiniest amount. And yeah, he wasn't seeing any other spots in my body.
Oh,
so,
wow. So
that's kind of when I officially got the, okay, he didn't say you're in remission. My oncologist is a very, very cautious person. But he said, I think you're done. And so I actually just am going back for blood work now. I don't have to get PET scans anymore. And, I just actually went on Thursday of last week and he said, I don't even think you need to come back until after the new year. So that's a big deal for me to not have to go to the doctor for 4 whole months. So,
Yeah. And so how often will you have to go after the new year at this point?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but he said, you know, it'll get drawn out longer and longer. So I would imagine if, you know, my blood work comes back good then, and I'm still feeling good and, you know, just feeling normal and energetic, maybe 6 months after
you
know, and then maybe after that 8 months or I don't know. I guess we'll just kind of play it by ear,
but
I'm glad I don't have to get the scans anymore. Cause it is a little bit of radioactive dye that they inject you with.
Yes.
And then you're going through this huge machine and it's all radioactive.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I'd rather not do that every 3 months or so.
Give your body a break.
Yeah. So I actually didn't.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I didn't have to have any radiation after my chemo. So that was really encouraging. And, you know, just because of where my tumor was in my chest, you know, the chance of getting breast cancer from radiation, you know, can be higher. Even though they can really pinpoint it pretty well. But he said, really, there's no need. And for me and for my case, there wasn't a need, and he felt like it was just scar tissue. So,
that's great. Now, going back, did you have any symptoms that you had that you thought, what's going on? I mean, what made you go into the doctors to begin with, or was this just a regular routine checkup?
Yeah. Looking back, there was really, I guess, two symptoms, but I didn't know that one of them could be a symptom. So I had really quite bad itching. It sounds really strange. And, you know, I don't really like to mention that a whole lot to people that
you don't want to freak them out.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh my gosh, I'm itchy. Well, you know, it could just be dry skin. But, the reason I was so itchy, I didn't have dry skin. And I thought, why am I always so itchy? You know, I'm putting lotion on, you know, it's just kind of that itch that just won't let up, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And looking back, when we were actually kind of waiting for the news of whether it was cancer or not, my husband actually found some information saying that your white blood cells are overactive under your skin if you have an infection in your body and, you know, or inflammation, and cancer is basically inflammation.
Right.
So He was like, you know, he kind of looked at me and was like, I don't want to scare you, but you know, this is why you could be so itchy. And I was, I just looked at him like, oh my gosh. So, but sure enough, you know, it's, you know, I was diagnosed with cancer and then went through the chemo and the itching stopped. And, so that was one, but it was really kind of, again, that itch that is just like, what's the word? Like you can't satisfy that itch or like get rid of it. Yeah.
So did you go in saying I'm itching all the time and that's what made them say, let's test to see if you have cancer?
No. No. So the beginning, well, it's kind of a long story, but so in 2014 in the spring, I was out doing some yard work. And of course, I live in Georgia, so pollen is just, just horrible.
Same here in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. So I was doing yard work and I was, you know, had been working pretty hard and was kind of done. And I thought, oh man, my shoulder is really achy. Like, why is it so achy? And I was kind of like feeling around, like just kind of pushing on it. Why am I so achy? And I felt a lump in my collarbone. And I'm, you know, a relatively tall, skinny kind of person. So I guess I could just feel it easily.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I was like, well, that's strange. And I wasn't real concerned about it, but I thought, well, it's a lump. I better at least look it up on Google, right? Or WebMD, right. Yeah. Something like that. So of course you look it up and of course it says, well, it could be cancer. And you know, you just kind of shrug it off like, yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't have,
you know,
cancer.
It says cancer. If you have, you know, you look up a sniffly nose.
Everything is cancer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
So I just didn't think a lot of it, but I guess kind of in the back of my mind, I was like, well, that's not good. But you know, it said, well, if it feels rubbery, if it moves around, it's probably fine. And I felt like it was moving around and it wasn't like really hard. And so I thought, well, it's probably nothing. It's probably just allergies, you know, because your lymph nodes can swell if you have, you know, like a sinus infection or, you know, they can swell pretty easily. Mm-hmm. So I did ask a neighbor about it just to kind of get her input because she knows, you know, a fair amount about, I don't know, medical stuff, I guess. She's not a doctor by any means, but she kind of like put me at ease and was kind of like, nah, I wouldn't worry about it too much, you know? And so I just kind of left it. And I really don't remember feeling a lot, for it, you know, the rest of that year, 2014. And then the beginning of 2015, I think it was like maybe February, early February, or maybe even January. I was sitting at the dining room table, you know, just kind of with my hand, just kind of by my collarbone. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel that lump again. Had my husband feel it. And he's like, yeah, I definitely feel something. Yeah, you should probably have that checked out. Kind of just like, that's probably nothing. Yeah. But you know, in January, February, there's not pollen out really. And
right.
So
that
little,
can't be it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was actually, we were kind of thinking about maybe having another child. And so I had been really interested in naturopathic doctors and doing things more natural. We'd actually been trying to eat more organic over the last, you know, 5-6 years. And just trying to be careful with, you know, GMOs and just artificial everything. And so I thought, well, instead of going to a regular doctor, I want to go to this naturopathic doctor and just see like if my vitamin levels are good, my nutrient levels. And we'd actually been vegan for a year before that, because we thought it might be healthier for us.
Right.
And my hair was starting to thin really badly. And so I thought, you know, we weren't really vegan anymore at that point, but I thought I better go and just see, you know, what's going on with my body. What can she do to help make me healthy in case I get pregnant? You know, so I went to go see her. She did a bunch of tests. She did like a acidity test, a pH test. She did a nervous system test, a blood test, obviously a couple others, and none of it came back real good. And I thought, well, I'm just the average, you know, worn out young mom, you know, I just need some vitamins and I'll be good.
Yeah.
And so she gave me a few things and she didn't even feel the lump, but I did mention it. You know, we went over my whole family history and anything that had happened to me in the past. And she gave me a few things, said, take this for a month and then come back. So I did that, went back, and she said, well, some things are looking better with your blood, but some things are not. And she said, you know, looks like your body's trying to fight off some kind of infection. Do you have a regular doctor that you normally see, a family doctor? And I thought, well, that's not good that she's asking me that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
I was like, no, not really. You know, I haven't actually been back since my youngest was born 5 years ago. And so I said, well, you know, what does that mean? And she said, your white blood cells are really high. And she said, you know, I think it could possibly, well, she said that kind of typical doctor thing. What do you want me to be honest with you? And I was like, yes, you know, shaking my head, kind of no, but saying yes.
No, yes, yeah.
So she said, well, I think it could be leukemia. And obviously it was just very like taken aback, but wow. One of my grandfathers had had leukemia and he didn't die of that, but he had that for a very long time. And I just thought, oh, that's it. I've, you know, inherited that from my grandfather. I'm dead, you know? I guess those were kind of the thoughts that were running through my head. And then very quickly I was like, no, let's just, you know, take it a day by day. It's probably nothing, you know, so you're constantly like, oh my gosh. And then just trying to like correct your thinking of,
you're like, I'm okay.
Stay positive. God's got me. So anyway, I left, you know, smiling and wasn't super concerned, but you know, I went ahead and set up an appointment with another doctor and he tested my blood. And sure enough, it was something called a sedimentation rate too, where your red blood cells will drop to the bottom of a vial. And the faster they do that, the more sedimentation rate you have. And mine dropped very fast, which is not good. So, and then obviously he found that the white blood cells were high. So thanks to my naturopath, actually, you know, she found that there was really something quite off with me. And so it was one appointment after another. After that family doctor that I saw, he recommended that I go to see a hematologist who turned out to be an oncologist. He had me go get a CAT scan, a neck ultrasound, a chest x-ray. I mean, it was just one place after another.
Wow.
And then finally my oncologist, you know, who I, you know, was in a cancer treatment center, which did not make me feel very comfortable. He said, well, the last thing we need to do, we are seeing these different spots in your body. The only thing we can do to really confirm it is for you to get a biopsy of a whole lymph node so that we have enough, you know, tissue to test. And so I had to, you know, go to a hospital and have one taken out, and we sent some to my naturopath actually. And, she, you know, had me do certain things to still trying to help me kind of through the process. And, we told her, you know, it could be cancer, like she said. And anyway, the biopsy came back, I think like a week later. And of course we're just waiting and anxious and trying to stay positive though, you know, and it did confirm that it was Hodgkin's. And we were kind of, weren't really surprised, I guess, because everything that my oncologist was telling me that was wrong with me all was pointing to Hodgkin's, but he still had this attitude of, well, it could still be something else, but in most cases it's this.
Right.
And so I guess that kind of prepared us. And I think the biggest thing, I mean, I remember crying obviously that day, I didn't have this feeling of like despair though, you know. It was just kind of, my concern was, I don't want to put chemo in my body. I don't want to put that poison in my body.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest struggle the whole time. Was not the fact that I actually had cancer, but okay, I don't really want to do chemo to try to cure this. And obviously I knew, you know, God could heal me if he wanted to, but I think in some cases he uses that in your life to really, you know, teach you things and about other people and about yourself and, just about life. And so I knew that, you know, he might, or he might not, and that was okay. And, I just took the next 2 months to really pray about it. That was probably too long, because after about 2 months, I was starting to get little fevers and, so it's kind of a long story, but I ended up going back to my oncologist and saying, okay, I think I'm having more fevers. I don't know what to do. I remember crying in his office and like, you know, he's a guy. And so he was like, why are you crying? Like, well, I have cancer. I don't know what to do.
Sees it all the time.
Exactly. he's a super nice guy, but not very empathetic. It was just, all of this is kind of a long story, but I just knew like God had really done some things to just show his faithfulness in my family and my husband's family. And we have such a rich Christian heritage, which I'm really grateful for. And so I just knew that, okay, if something is wrong with me, God will be with me. He'll help me through this. It was just such a shock, because I had been praying the last couple of years, okay, God, make us strong for whatever it is. If it's the end times, if it's something that's going to happen with my girls, if it's something that's going to happen with my parents or my husband or whatever, not thinking it could be me. you know?
Yes.
You just kind of think, I'm, you know, the mom. I've, you know, got to keep it together.
Yeah.
I take care of everybody. Obviously, my husband does too.
Yeah, even when you're sick, you're taking care of people.
Anyway, it was just kind of a shock. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to deal with this.
And,
you know, I'd always been super healthy. You know, and like I said, we tried to eat, you know, healthy over the last few years before that. So it just kind of goes to show you, you can do whatever you want. You can be as healthy and as active, you know, as you want and eat as healthy as you can, but you know, you still may get sick. And it's just, I think part of being in a sick and diseased world that's just full of evil, really, you know? And,
Now, do you, so knowing that you were eating good and all the stuff, especially with your kids, how do you feel now? Because you're like, I was doing what I needed to do and still got it. So what is, what's your mindset now around all that kind of stuff?
That's tricky. For me, I guess, like, I know, you know, I don't want anything to come back. So I feel like I want to do what I can to try to stay healthy as far as exercise and eating well. I know that, well, just because I ate well before and I still got cancer, that doesn't mean I should go back to eating a bunch of junk. I mean, especially if I'm going to be a role model for my kids.
Yes.
So, I've not been doing great about it lately though. I'll be completely honest. It's, you know, after our beach vacation in the summer, I was like, hard. Shoot,
I know.
Shoot, I don't need to look good in a bathing suit anymore. So, and then you're on vacation and, but I have this, you know, thinking inside of me of I need to do what I can. I've just never been a very active kind of athletic kind of person. So it's very hard for me to get motivated to exercise or whatever. But I kind of at least want to say if anything does come back or another disease or whatever that, hey, I did what I could, you know? But on the other hand, I do feel like, hey, I don't have cancer anymore. I need to live. I need to not feel guilty about every single little thing I do. And I think even someone without cancer has that, you know, moms, especially just this guilt of I need to be doing this. I shouldn't be doing that. So it's kind of like that fine line of trying to do what you know you should do, but also giving yourself some grace and, you know, not feeling guilty about, okay, I literally have a Mountain Dew next to me, which is not the best, but you know, it's what my parents had.
Now, but, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just all that to say, you know, it's like, I don't want to make myself feel guilty over every single thing, but I know I shouldn't have Mountain Dews every day. So
yeah, sometimes, but
it's a little tricky.
Now, when you got diagnosed, how did you go about telling your kids and were they scared or were they just too young to really understand what was going on?
Yeah, they were, I think, a little bit too young, which I'm kind of grateful for. They really, we hadn't really talked a lot about cancer before or like what it was because, I mean, no one really in our immediate family has had it recently, thank God. And so we hadn't really talked about it a lot. We didn't, we kind of went about just saying, you know, mommy has something called cancer and she's sick, but, you know, we're going to get some medicine and she's going to be better. The medicine may make her hair fall out, you know, but it'll grow back. And so my husband just, you know, once we found out that day when I was diagnosed, you know, we just kind of sat him down and had a conversation and they were like, oh, okay. I mean, they, you know, they didn't cry or because they didn't know how serious cancer could be. And they took it well and I think that they had some moments of kind of concern, especially like when they were tired. And I think at one point my oldest daughter did cry, but I think she was just really tired too. And just, but yeah, I think that they definitely had their moments of, okay, what's going on? You know? But they were very sweet. They would, you know, check on me a lot when I was obviously in bed a lot and, you know, they would bring me cards or draw me pictures. And it was just, it was kind of a sweet time, I think, to see their concern and care. But yeah, they, I think, were a little bit too young to be very concerned or, so I was grateful for that I felt like they were at a, I don't know, quote unquote, good age to handle something like that. They still and just led their little kid lives and did, you know, fun things and it didn't really affect them that much. So.
Now, were you able to watch them or did you need help to come in?
At times, definitely, you know, the day of my chemo, like usually my parents or my in-laws would come the day before and they would stay with us and we would, you know, someone would take me to chemo. I obviously could get myself there, but I wouldn't be able to drive back because it right. just made me very, just very tired
sick.
And
yeah.
just kind of a little nauseous that
yeah.
day.
Right.
Usually the next day I would feel quite fine.
Oh,
it was kind of strange, but it would kick in like the next day. So about 2 days after chemo,
wow.
I would start feeling just very, very tired primarily. So I also did develop like, I didn't really have a lot of mouth sores, but one of the types of chemo I got, which is, they call that the red devil. It's called bleomycin. It's the one that makes your hair fall out. And I think a couple of them can, but it's the one that's quite potent. That one can give you mouth sores. And I got that a tiny bit the first couple of chemos. But then after that, my tongue was basically just like ruined. It was, it just, it wasn't like people talk about that metallic taste in your mouth. I didn't really experience a metallic taste so much as just like a, just a bad aftertaste all the time. I didn't like to drink water because I would just, you know, have that taste in my mouth. But yeah, that lasted the entire 6 months. And then once, you know, I was a couple weeks past my last chemo, it went away, thank God. But but I actually got steroids in my chemo, which actually made me incredibly hungry all the time. And so I actually gained weight. You know, you hear of people just
Looking losing weight.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they give you the steroids to just help with the nausea. So I felt like, you know, there definitely were things I didn't feel like eating, but I did eat pretty well. You know, I just, it was, I had to eat what I wanted to eat, you know, it sounded good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I started out like juicing and doing all this no sugar and all this crazy stuff. And
then a
couple weeks into it, I was like, I just want the fried chicken and the McDonald's, please.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So what did you find that, through this journey, the friends that really stayed the course and what did that look like to you? Like the people that actually stood by your side?
Yeah. That one was, I guess, maybe a bit surprising to me in a way. I definitely had a lot of support, especially obviously from my parents and my in-laws. And I have two brothers and to some extent, you know, they obviously showed concern too. But I think with some friends, it was definitely a little disappointing. Some people that, you know, maybe we weren't even best friends, but I just kind of expected them to maybe show a little bit more empathy or maybe check on me a bit more or and then they didn't. That was definitely a little hurtful. But I feel like overall I did have a really good support system. And so, you know, the few here and there that kind of were disappointing, you just have to learn to kind of shrug it off and just let it roll off your back and, you know, just think, well, I don't know. I just tried to not judge and just think, well, maybe it's too hard for them to talk about. Maybe they've gone through something where they just can't deal with it. Or, you know, obviously everyone just has their own lives going on and that's what's important to you. That's what's going on in your life. And that's what's forefront in your mind, you know, not my friend who has cancer, which, you know, but
do you think they even realized it? Like, do you think they even realized that they weren't there for you?
Probably some didn't. And some maybe just thought, well, I don't know.
Do you think they maybe thought you had enough people? Like, I sometimes wonder with that, like that if people have their family around, like, so I live in Nashville, I have no family here. So it's like, nobody would be able to come here and help me to do that kind of stuff. And I sometimes wonder if people, if they see that they have family and it's kind of like, well, they got their family. And so I'm just going to give them their space.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the reasons are. I'm just wondering if maybe that's how
people
and perceive that. I don't know.
I definitely think some people do. I even had a neighbor the other day who, you know, we didn't know them real well, but they're our neighbors. They literally live across the street from us and they're an older couple that knew my husband when he was little because the house we live in is the house he grew up in right now.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. But they're the sweetest people and, you know, they're great to talk to, but during that whole time, they didn't say a word. I don't think sent a card. They didn't bring a meal. They just said via my in-laws, who they're friends with, hey, you know, tell her we're praying for her or something like that. Or they're, you know, they would ask about me, but they didn't,
That is weird. Yes.
And I guess it's hard because I don't want people to feel like they have to do something for me or give me something. But I think just those little gestures of even sending a little card or I don't know, a text or something saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. But people, she actually came over the other day and I've been getting to know her a little bit better since. And of course she said, my whole church was praying for you. My whole group has been praying for you. We're so glad you're better. You know, so I knew that they were praying for me, but she even told me, she's like, I had a cousin or something that went through breast cancer and I just didn't want to bother her because she, she was not feeling good. And, and I just, you know, I said, well, just from my personal experience, you know, I would, you know, just check with the person and see, do you want company? Do you want me to come by? And if they say, yes, I'd love company, then go, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot
tell
of people,
you if they don't want it. Yeah,
exactly. I just said, it doesn't hurt to ask because I think a lot of times I know I found that on the days I was feeling pretty good, maybe a little tired, I would have loved some company because I couldn't get out a lot. My white counts were so low that, I was at risk of getting, you know, disease sick. Or infection or sick when I was going out. And I did try to go out at times. And I'm sorry, I kind of missed your question of was I able to take care of the girls? There were definitely, like, I would have kind of a bad week after chemo. And then the week after that would be pretty good. Not completely back to normal, but I would be able to get out and go places quickly, or you just use a lot of hand sanitizer. Thank God. God kept me healthy and well. I actually had a very, very slight cold during the whole time, but
that's amazing. That's all you got, especially with kids going to school and stuff like that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. My kids actually got sick several times. Actually my husband and two girls had this horrible stomach bug. My husband was just like, she's going to get it. That's it. She's going to get it. She's going to get horribly sick. But I never did. God just,
that's amazing.
Really put a little God bubble protected around
you.
Me. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But back to the friend thing. There definitely were times where I would have loved for someone to come by, and some people definitely did. And I really appreciated that. And I think what I appreciated the most was when I had some friends say, I'm coming by, I'm bringing you groceries. What do you need? Tell me what you need from the store. I'm bringing it. You're not going to pay me for it. Or I'm coming to clean your house. You know, I'm coming to bring you a meal. What do you want? Not, hey, would you like for me to do this? And then me say, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
They're just,
you know,
forcing themselves.
They were just like,
good.
I'm coming. And you kind of need that because, I do at least, because I'm that kind of person where, I don't want to inconvenience
them.
Yes,
you're not going to ask.
They've got
for
their
it.
Own lives going on. They've got kids. They, you know.
Yeah.
I even had some neighbor, one of my neighbors came by and actually stayed with me after a couple of my chemos just to have someone there since my husband was at work. And we kind of needed to give my in-laws a break. They had come so much.
Yeah.
And I kind of needed a break too, but
Which is understandable. Yeah. So you're saying, so if people are listening to this and they have friends or family that have cancer and they're kind of just like, I don't know what to do, or kind of like your neighbor, they're like, I want to leave her alone, or I think she has a lot of help. You're saying, okay, just call them up or text them and say, I want to bring you dinner. What sounds good to you? Or just kind of like, I'm picking up the group. You almost kind of just need to be forceful to some degree of just being like, I'm doing it.
At least with me, I think.
No, I do think that's a lot of a lot of people, especially moms, right? It's hard to be like, so come here and take care of the stuff that's my job. And I'm doing air quotes, my job, right? And so for somebody to come in, you really kind of have to, one, let your pride down and be humbled that somebody's going to come in and help you. And I do think you have to be okay with, it may not be the exact way that you would do it or the exact food that you would buy, and just be okay with that because people are trying to help you. And, but I do think that's a good thing. And even what you're saying, so even if people don't live close by, sending you a card, sending you a text or whatever, you feel like that's like, that showed you support, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm a kind of a gift giver myself. And so I just really appreciated that too. But I think even if you're not, just knowing someone is reaching out and is, you know, caring about you and praying for you, you know, sending a simple card, you know, just, or a text, you know, hey, I'm thinking of you, or a Facebook message, whatever you want to do. I did keep people pretty well informed. I did set up a Facebook page. And so I would just kind of keep them updated. Hey, I'm going to chemo today. Please pray for me. And just the amount of support and messages and just was just amazing. And I know some people they like to kind of keep things a little bit more private.
Sure.
Everyone is different. I really liked having that. And I think everyone else appreciated it too, because they could just go to that page and get an update if they didn't want to, you know, quote unquote, bother me or whatever.
Right.
They could still get an update. And, but yeah, I really appreciated the people that asked me, you know, and didn't go through my husband or my in-laws or whatever, you know, that just reached out to me personally. And it was kind of amazing to see people that I never expected to reach out or care that did. Yeah. And I thought that was just wonderful. And now I have some really great, you know, friends, through that. And yeah, and you find people that, well, my, you know, so-and-so that I know went through this. And so they know, like, I think when you've gone through it, or you're a caregiver that's gone or seen, you know, something like this, firsthand, like, you just kind of, I think it develops like a new level of empathy in you and compassion and just knowing kind of how to help people a little bit better. And so I'm grateful for that experience, you know, just for that I hopefully know how to, you know, be there for people a little bit more, and in what ways, you know, felt good to me and special to me, you know, to try to do that for other people as much as I can too.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's great. And I, like you said, I think too, even with Facebook, I think it's good if you can kind of do some interaction, even if you don't want to do it all the time, because, you know, it's tiring to have to send it out to everybody. And I think if you can just send it in one space, everybody can see it.
That was the biggest thing.
Right. Yeah. And they know where you are in the process, and then you can kind of just let somebody know. And, I wanted to say, what do you think about people who do GoFundMe or Caring Bridge and they need to raise money with cancer? Like, did you feel like it was totally like blowing up your out of pocket, or like, did you have to go through that, or were you able to keep everything kind of under control with what you had to do?
Financially, it was a bit hard. Not as much when we were going through the whole process. But we knew, okay, we have MediShare, which is the Christian kind of co-op.
And
we have a pretty high deductible. And so, we knew that, we knew we would have to pay that. And I felt a little strange setting up a GoFundMe or something like that for myself.
Yeah.
And no one actually offered to do that for us, which is fine. We knew God, you know, God will help us through this. We'll make it, you know, but you know, things have kind of always been tighter for us financially. And then we had this on top of it. And that really kind of, especially for me, knowing I kind of caused that and I'm adding to our debt is kind of one of those guilt things that I just kind of have to push away. And my husband, of course, my husband was awesome. He's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's more you worrying about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in the beginning, I felt like I kept telling my husband, we're going through all these tests. I'm having to do all these things and watch, it's just going to be nothing. And we'll have to pay all this money for nothing. Mm. So it was not like good that I had cancer, but it was kind of like, okay, well,
it was for something.
Yeah.
But now, would you say as a friend, would you now being in that spot that, no one, did the GoFundMe or the Caring Bridge or whatever, would you say, hey, do this for somebody, get it going?
Yeah, I guess I would say so. And even though I don't, you know, I don't look back on our situation, and say, gosh, someone should have done that for us, but
But now walking through
sure,
it
would have been helpful.
That side. Yes. Yeah.
Cause now after the fact, now everyone's starting to come and want their money. And, you know, we have to pay this pretty high deductible. And so, it has been kind of a strain on us. And I guess it would have been nice if someone had done that. But, you know, I feel like, you know, God, you know, if God didn't lead to someone to that decision or then so be it, and we'll make it through. I know we will. And, you know, there's actually already been, I'll track back and say, some people that we hardly even knew that we had met at a church we went to, they just out of the blue, I can't remember exactly how it went. I think she may have contacted me on Facebook or something, but she said, hey, we'd like to help you guys financially. Oh, and so during this, they actually were giving us kind of a set amount that was, not a super small amount, but it wasn't, you know, a huge amount, but it was just like, Wow. I don't want to disclose the amount, but it was such a great
blessing.
And I just was blown away. And they've actually since then even helped us after the fact. And
that's amazing.
Has just blown us away. And it's just been neat to see, because actually they gave us, another financial gift just a few months ago. And it was like the day that we found out we needed new tires on our car and it was going to cost us hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
They gave us that exact amount.
That's amazing.
I mean, and she didn't even know. And
that's crazy.
We've just had that happen so much in our lives.
That is awesome.
I just think that is not coincidence. That's God taking care of us through other people that are being faithful to give when they feel called to.
Right.
And she even said that. She said, I feel like God has called us to be able to help people in need, and we have this ability to do that, and we want to help.
That's amazing.
So that was just huge. We have had help financially for sure. But I think, after the fact, there it's not just financially, but it's also once you're through all that, it's emotionally like processing what just happened. Like,
sure,
I think it's honestly
in survivor
been,
mode.
Yeah, exactly. My husband actually had this huge flare up of psoriasis after everything was over.
Oh my gosh.
And it was
like his body just released, right?
Yeah,
it was just like,
So, and for me, it's honestly been, a little harder emotionally after everything. And again, there's that guilt of I should be the happiest person in the world. Why do I feel like this? Why do I, you know, and I think it's almost like, I don't want to say PTSD, but kind of a form of, you're in survival mode for so long and then it's all over and it feels like a bad dream and you're like, what just happened?
Wow.
And then of course, just getting back into the swing of caring
normal
for the
life.
Girls, caring for the house, doing all the stuff. And
Well, we're almost at the end of the show, but I wanted to go into, I know you work with Trades of Hope. So can you share a little bit of what that is and where people can find you?
Sure. Well, when I was going through, actually, when I was done with chemo, I was just kind of on the couch trying to, you know, recoup and regain some energy. And I think it was about February of this year, I came across a necklace on Instagram. And I thought, well, that's really cute. I wonder where that's from. So via, I find out that it's through this company called Trades of Hope. And I go to their page and was just so impressed by them. And they're a faith-based company. And they also are fair trade. And so they work with artisans in 16 different countries, including here in the U.S., which I loved. And they basically help those artisans sell their goods. And so they make jewelry and bags and scarves and home decor. And we have some Christmas items coming out soon, like ornaments and things like that. So they pay them up front before those goods are even sold here in the States. And so these artisans send their things, you know, to here, to the States. And basically it's like a Mary Kay or Tupperware kind of, you know, direct sales company. But I basically help them sell those goods, if that makes
sense.
That's
great. Yeah.
So,
and what is your website? Where can people find you at?
It is www.mytradesofhope.com/Stephanie Taylor. And Stephanie is with PH. It's great. It's actually helping these artisans out of poverty.
That's great.
Artisans that have been through sex trafficking or,
That's awesome.
You know, forced slave, you know, labor basically, if they're even discriminated against just because they're women. But it is also helping men. We do also have about 20% of our artisans that are men. So it's basically just helping men and women and their children all over the world, out of oppressive, you know, hard situations. Primarily poverty is the biggest one. So yeah, they're paid about 3 to 6 times more than what they would have been, you know, at a local market, which is great.
Yeah.
And they're gorgeous items. There's kind of something for everyone. And, the prices are reasonable. But yet, you know, you're buying something pretty.
Yeah. That's
great. You're helping these women. And it was just a perfect fit because going through cancer, I just thought, I want to be able to help and contribute to our finances somehow, you know, with what I can do. But I don't feel like I can work outside the home right now.
Right.
I just don't have the energy.
Yeah.
And when I found this, I thought, oh, this gives me some purpose and like a feeling that I'm doing something worthwhile and of meaning, especially going through cancer. I just was like, what can I do that has some meaning to it? You know, I think after you go through something like that, you're just like, life has so much more, you know, I can just do so much more. And I want to do something that is purposeful. And so I found this and it was just the perfect fit. And I prayed about it for a long time though, and didn't actually join until June. But I just thought, oh, I don't know if I want to get back into something like that. But the group of women that does this, we're only about 6 years old. There's about 3,000 or so of us, and they call us compassionate entrepreneurs, which is kind of neat. But there, it's just an amazing sisterhood. It's been actually just a really good group of women for me to, you know, feel like I belong with, and they're so encouraging and uplifting, and they share everything, pictures and posts. And, but I've been able to do all of this really from my home, which has been a huge blessing, because I just don't, I want to be home with my girls. And, you know, some days I am really tired still. And
sure.
So yeah,
it makes sense. Yeah.
It's been a great fit. I think overall, just being able to help towards our finances, and also just feel like I'm doing something worthwhile with my time. And so
that's great. Yeah. And I will put this on the show notes too, so that people can click on that if they want to check it out. But Stephanie, I want to just say thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I really am walking away with a better understanding of how to be a better friend or family member to someone with cancer. So I do appreciate you walking me through this journey.
Yeah. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me. And it's been an honor to be asked to do something like this and just share a little insight from what I've learned. So.
And there you have it. Thank you for listening to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg. If you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Thank you guys so much for your support. See you next week.